Looking Back, a play for radio by Victor Pemberton, with Arthur English as Arthur Hobbs. Looking Back.
Jonathan, these fireworks cost money, you know.
I want another one, then.
So do I.
Oh, do keep them back from the bonfire, Mick. It does scare me when they get so close.
Yeah, now come on, you two. You heard what your gran said. Lizzie, Jonty, back from the fire.
Time they banned fireworks. I've always said it. They're nothing but a menace.
Oh, what's up, mate? They're too noisy for you.
The sky wasn't put there to be messed up with by all that junk. Rockets and bangers and shells.
Shells? I don't see no shells.
Oh, come off it, Dad. War's been over a long time, especially your war.
Fireworks is a waste of good money.
So that's it, is it? You're becoming an old Scrooge, aren't you?
Scrooge!
Now, you stop that, Lizzie, do you hear? Ain't you got no respect for your granddad?
It was only a joke, Dad. She didn't mean no harm.
Dad's a bit cold, that's all. You feel it when you get to our age, you know. It cuts right into your bones.
Yes, I know, love. It's this freezing fog. I can't feel it on my chest.
You mean there's room?
Oh, Mick. Don't, of course, about your mum and dad.
Wow.
Is it about time we went inside?
Well, what for? It's early yet.
Don't you have any respect for your neighbours?
Oh, for heaven's sake, Chris. It is Guy Fawkes night, you know.
Yes. Same old ritual in the backyard every year. Just to upset a lot of people all around you, that's all.
Why should we worry about the neighbours? They get a free show every year, don't they?
Don't you remember those firework parties we used to have in the backyard, Chris? When you and Mick were young. Hot potatoes in their jackets, chestnuts, saveloys and peas pudding. Yeah. Oh, they were good days, they were.
Yeah. I always thought it was a waste of time, myself.
Oh, did you now? Well, I don't ever remember you making any complaints.
I thought you did. Well, perhaps you didn't listen hard enough.
Yeah, don't wipe the smile off his face.
And if one green bottle should accidentally fall,
there'll be
no green bottles hanging on the wall.
I haven't enjoyed myself so much since you and Chris were kids. I do like a nice sing-song. It brings back the old days.
Yeah. Come on now, it's for a glass of port.
Port?
That bottle left over from Christmas.
Well, you know what you can do with that. I'm for a pint of bitter.
Grandad, why do they have to burn Guy Fawkes on bonfire night every year? It seems cruel.
Cruel? To burn old Jummy on the fire?
When it crinkles up like that in the flames, it doesn't look like a dummy. Looks like a real person.
Guy Fawkes was a real person, Jonty, a long time ago.
Yeah, and he got what was coming to him.
Well, that's a matter of opinion.
Well, he tried to blow up the Houses of Parliament, didn't he?
Yeah, and there are plenty more who'd do the same if they had the chance.
Well, I wouldn't. I mean, the day that happens, England won't be a fit place to live in anymore. No, I cherish my freedom.
Guy Fawkes was a revolutionary. His only crime was to fight for a faith he believed in.
Oh, come on,
some of us fought the war for the things we believed in. But we didn't have to blow up the Houses of Parliament.
Well, you call that an argument? Ah, Mick, you don't really want your kids to go through life believing everything the state tells them.
Guy Fawkes was a cold-blooded murderer. You can read that in any history book.
Well, how would you know, Dad? You've never read a book in your life.
Who's for a glass of port now? Mum?
Yeah.
Oh,
thank you, dear.
Dad, what about you? Come on now. You always like a nice glass of port. Warm you up a bit.
I don't want no port. I'm going home now.
Oh, no, Arthur, no, it isn't even 9 o'clock yet.
I said I'm going home. You don't have to come with me if you don't want to. I'm perfectly all right on my own.
Well, look, if you hang on for half an hour, Dad, I'll run you home in the car.
No, I prefer to walk. I could do with some fresh air.
Oh, go after him, Mick.
No, it's all right. I'll go.
But you can't both walk back on your own, not in the dark.
Why ever not? It's only just round the corner.
What is it, Mum? He's been a bit touchy all evening. What's that?
Oh, I don't know, Mick. It's been coming on for some time, but I don't know what it is. Oh, I'm sorry to break up the party, but I better go.
I'll get your coat.
All right.
Jonathan, Lizzie, come and see Grandma to the door.
Yes, my
lady. That's it. Oh, well, thanks for a lovely party, son. I did enjoy myself. Good. I really did.
Any time you pass him, my darling. Keep in touch.
Yes, Lizzie. Oh, good night, Chris. Come and see your dad and I, won't you? Oh, when you've got the time, of course.
Yeah. Good night, Mum.
Good night.
What the bloody hell's got into you? Why'd you have to go and upset the old man like that?
It's his own fault for being so sensitive.
Well, at 76 years of age, he's got every right to be sensitive.
All he can ever do is to sit there the whole evening without opening his mouth to anyone. And when he does, he only talks a whole lot of rubbish. That man never takes an interest in anything that goes on around him. Oh, Christ, if anything should happen to Mum, I don't know what he'd do. I wish I knew what goes on inside a mind like that. My own father, who can't even talk to me.
Yeah, well, that's your problem, mate. If you've got a chip on your bloody shoulder, blame yourself, not other people. Don't blame us if we haven't had the benefit of your superior education.
Education has nothing to do with
Look,
it.
Look, now, you listen to me, Chris. Ever since you walked out of that teacher's training college years ago, you made nothing but one hell of a mess of your life.
Now, lay off, Mick.
No. No, Chris. You lay off. This is the East End, not the Carlton Towers. And don't ever forget who or what you come from. Because if you do, I may forget I'm your brother.
Just look at all those beautiful colours across the sky. Do you know what it reminds me of, Arthur?
What?
The Blitz. Well, they were happy days, really.
Happy? With bombs going off all around us?
Yeah. Do you remember that night when they had a landmine on the corner of Leslie Street? When the fish and chip shop caught it? Do you remember how the blast blew these bedroom windows in?
Remember? Oh, blimey, I'm hardly likely to forget, am I? If it hadn't been for the curtain, we were in cut to pieces. There was glass all over the place.
Yes, I know. When you put your trousers on in the morning, you had a terrible cut on your backside.
Yeah.
You couldn't sit down for a week.
Winnie, why do you always laugh at other people's misfortunes? Dear. That cut was very painful.
You know, I think I've got more happy memories of what happened to us during the war than any time since we were married. I'm frightened of the times we live in today. People have become so greedy and violent. We had a lot to live for in the old days.
Yeah, and now we've got nothing.
Why just say things like that, Arthur? You know it upsets me.
Well, it's true, isn't it? When you get to our age, they're just hanging on, that's all.
Oh, hanging on?
We've got to face up to it, Winnie. We're old cart horses now. Cart horses that have been put out to graze. We're just a responsibility to everyone.
Arthur, what's wrong? Come on. I mean, we've never kept secrets from each other, not all the years we've been married. What's it all about?
Stop bullying me, will you?
You were silly to get upset about Chris, you know. He didn't mean to hurt you. You're too sensitive about that boy.
Chris ain't a kid no more.
Well, our kids will always be kids to me, Arthur, no matter how much they grow up.
The least he could do is pull himself together and get a decent job. He spends half his time down the labour exchange.
No. I mean, perhaps he wants to get more out of life than just slogging away at the same old job day after day.
Huh? Slogging at the same old job didn't do me no harm. At least he kept the roof over our heads.
Arthur, look, I've always been proud and grateful that you spent the best part of your life working on the railways. But it wouldn't be right to expect everyone else to be like you. You know, there's an awful lot of people around in this world who don't know how to cope with things. I think Chris is a bit like that. And he's got the brain all right. But he hasn't got the confidence in himself to do something positive with his life. And I always regret that you two have never been able to get on with each other. I don't know. Maybe it's because you're so alike. Obstinate. Suspicious. It's funny. But if you two could only give yourselves the chance, It could all be so different.
Ah, there she goes, Lord bless her. Dead on time.
42 seconds late.
What's she talking about? The 10-5 from King's Cross hasn't been more than 12 minutes late all the years we've been coming to this bridge.
Oh, no? Then what about the winter of 47?
Ah, well, 1947 was a bad winter. There was 10-foot snowdrifts on the line.
Well, I don't care what you say, Charlie. The trains ain't what they used to be. Not like when I was on the plate.
Well, times change, Arthur. You can't stop progress, mate.
Progress? Let me tell you, Sonny. You don't make things better just because you change them.
Huh?
I mean, look at this park. I've been coming here ever since my old mum used to push me around in my pram. Just look at it. Go on, look at it. Look, see? They've got rid of the bandstand to make way for the open-air theatre. The cafe is now the restaurant pavilion. And the boating lake is the children's lado. Even the elm trees are dying.
Yeah, well, the past is the past, Arthur. Sooner or later, we have to stop looking back.
All right for you, Charlie Knuckles. You've still got your health.
Yeah, not a day's illness in my life.
You're lucky.
Well, you know what it is, don't you? It's all those sex orgies we have at the old people's home. It's true. Some of those old dears love a bit of slap and tickle after lights out. Kiss me goodnight, Sergeant Major.
Tuck me in my little wooden bed. Do you know something, Charlie? Sometimes I wish we were back in the army, don't you?
The army? You've got to be joking. That was over 50 years ago.
But don't you miss the companionship? I mean, people you can talk to. Don't you ever get lonely now your old woman's gone?
Well, of course I get lonely. It wouldn't be natural if I didn't. But you can't stop living just because a part of you isn't there anymore. In fact, if the right woman come along, I'd marry again.
What?
Well, why not? Why shouldn't a man be allowed to fulfil his natural desires?
Your age?
What's age got to do with it? Anyway, Arthur, what's the matter with you? Is it that row you had with your boy last night?
No, not really. Although that's part of it, I suppose. I'm so mixed up, Charlie. These last few weeks, I haven't been able to think straight. I think it's got something to do with the war. Our war, Charlie. I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about it an awful lot lately. Especially Tom.
Tom? Well, Tom Edgington, Winnie's brother.
I've been lying awake at nights wondering what she'd say if she knew.
If she knew? Yeah, wait a minute. You mean you've never told Winnie about that night in the trenches?
No, Charlie. I haven't told her. I couldn't. I just couldn't.
I must say, it's very odd the way grown men like watching trains go by. It's like kids at school.
Well, you know what they say, Rita. Growing old is like getting back your second childhood.
But week in, week out, Dad goes train spotting on that bridge in the park.
Yeah, why shouldn't he? After all, he enjoys it. And he doesn't have much to occupy his mind these days.
Oh, don't think I'm criticising him, Mum, love. Yeah, but I can't bear that friend of his.
But Charlie Knuckles?
Dirty old man.
Oh, come on now, Rita. I mean, Dad and Charlie, they've been pals since their army days in the First War. You know what they say, old soldiers never die.
Mum, has Dad ever told you about his time in the trenches?
No, never.
Why not?
If he doesn't want to tell me, I won't ask him. I respect him too much for that. Well, he'll tell me when he's good and ready.
He must have had a bad time of it.
Didn't they all?
Well, it's a pity the likes of Chris don't realise it.
What do you mean?
Well, the way he upset poor old Dad like that last night.
It wasn't entirely Chris's fault. I mean, Chris is... Oh, he's different, that's all. Some ways he takes after me. Bit of the gypsy in him.
Gypsy?
He hates to do what's expected of him.
Well, all I can say is it's a pity Chris isn't more like his brother. Mick idolises his dad. He always has done.
Well, of course he has. You don't have to tell me that.
Well, then why can't Chris be the same? Why must he hate his father so much?
Hate? Whatever do you mean, Rita?
Oh, it's obvious, isn't it? I mean, the two of them can't even talk to each other, can they?
Well, no, Rita. No, maybe they can't.
One day they will. One day.
You're mad, aren't you? How could you keep a secret like that from your Winnie all these years?
Because if Winnie knew what happened that night, she might never forgive me.
Yeah, but surely you must have told her about the war, about our time in the trenches together?
No, never.
Why not?
Because you don't share a nightmare with someone you love, that's why. It's bad enough that the likes of you and me had to go through it.
Harper, you're a stupid old git. No wonder you're all churned up inside.
I don't want to talk about the war, Charlie. I don't want to know no more about our miss this day, and poppies, and a field of remembrance. I want to forget that it ever happened.
How can you forget something you're still afraid of?
What are you talking about?
The past, Harper. Something that you can't even share with your own missus.
Leave me alone, can't you?
Yeah, what happened that night, Harper? That night in the trenches before we went over the top at Hill 60. That's still a mystery to me. Out of all the thousands who tramped in and out of those trenches, now you had to go and meet your own girlfriend's brother for the first time. Why, Harper? Why?
Is that the only song he knows?
Huh? What do you say?
Your mate over there. He's been singing the same song for the last 20 minutes.
You don't know Charlie. That's only the clean version.
It all looks so still out there. There's one large field of clay. Strange to think there are men dug in on either side just waiting to kill each other. Somehow I never thought it would be like this.
What did you think it would be like?
I don't know, really. More noise, I think. It's so quiet. Care for a fag?
Oh, thanks, mate.
Helped calm the nerves.
Well, a nervous type, are you?
A bit wary, that's all. My name's Tom.
Pleased to know you, Tom. I'm Arthur.
Here you are.
Hey, keep that light down. Fritz don't miss no chance to take a pot shot of anything that moves.
Sorry.
So. Well, when did you get in, mate?
Last night. Moved up from field headquarters. Reinforcements for you lot, they said. How long have you been stuck in this rat hole?
Fortnight, I reckon.
Fortnight?
Fortnight, 3 weeks. It's all the same to me. If you live like a rat long enough, you start to think like one. Do you know I'm beginning to hoard up everything I find? Even half-chewed dog biscuits.
What the hell are we doing out here, Arthur?
Eh?
It all seems so pointless. We don't even know what we're fighting for.
We do know what we're fighting for.
What?
To keep Fritz on the other side of that field.
Yeah. And why do we all just do as we're told? Yeah, without ever asking why?
Well, what are we supposed to do? Lay down our arms and let Kaiser Bill march down Whitehall?
Yeah. When two blokes pick a quarrel with each other, they shouldn't expect other people to have to fight it out for them.
Yeah, what part are you from, mate?
London, of course. God bless her. East End.
Not with a voice like that, you're not.
Yeah, what's wrong with my voice? There's nothing wrong with Clancy Road School, I can tell you.
Clancy Road? You don't mean Clancy Road Hackney?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. Oh, don't tell me we're neighbours.
I lived in Hackney all my life.
Well, so have I. Mare Street.
Mare Street? Yeah, my girlfriend lives in Mare Street. What? Winnie Edgington. Lives with her mum and dad above this furniture shop. What old buggers they are and all. I give Winnie and her younger brother a right time of it.
It's not possible. Arthur. Arthur Hobbs. Is it you?
Yeah. How do you know my name?
I'm Tom Edgington. Winnie's my sister.
Oh, blimey.
Well, I'm pleased to know you, Arthur.
Yeah, I'm pleased to know you, Tom. I can't believe it. Oh, Winnie's told me all about you.
She's told me about you. In fact, she never stops talking about you.
How long have you been with the Shiny Seventh, then?
What?
Oh, that's what they call this Fred Cardo's army, the Shiny Seventh. The Seventh Middlesex Regiment. I didn't even know you was drafted.
I wasn't. They were recruiting at the town hall one day, so I just took the King's shilling there and then. It's one way of getting away from the parents.
You've had a rough time with him.
Yeah, well, we both have, me and Winnie. Only she's stronger than me.
Does Winnie really talk about me, Tom? I mean, I know we're different in lots of ways, but no liking about that. Does she talk about me?
Yes, Arthur. She really does talk about you. Yeah, no larking.
Well, what do you know about that? So bloody stupid, isn't it? Me, in love.
You going to marry her? You going to marry my little sister?
Marry? Well, yes. Of course I'm going to marry her. That is, if she'll have me. You don't think she'd say no, do you, Tom?
No, Arthur. I don't think Winnie would say no.
Yes, come on, Chris. Have another couple of sausages. I've got more left in the pan.
No, thanks. I've had enough.
Oh, come on now. I know you just don't bother to cook in that bedsitter of yours. Just one more.
No, really, Mum. I've had enough. Save the rest for your breakfast or something.
Breakfast? Oh, well, don't be silly, dear. We never eat breakfast, do we, Arthur? In fact, we eat very little these days.
Well, I'm not surprised on the pension you get.
Oh, no, it isn't that. It's just that... Oh, I mean, when you get to our age, you don't seem to eat so much, that's all. I suppose your stomach shrinks or something. Isn't that so, Arthur?
Oh, I tell you, society disgusts me the way it treats people of your age. The pension should be increased so that you can really afford the things you need.
And where's the money coming from, may I ask?
Well, people pay Social Security, don't they?
People pay too much Social Security. They've got to have some money left to live on.
But wealth should be distributed equally amongst every member of the community.
So that some people needn't work at all, you mean?
Oh, I get it. You'd like to go back to the bad old days, would you?
People always go on about the bad old days. Personally, I can remember a lot of good times.
Well, unemployment, bread queues, kids starving in the streets.
It wasn't always like that, Chris.
You and your brother never wanted for a square meal.
But because you and Mum made a hell of a lot of sacrifices, that's why.
Only because we wanted to, not because we had to.
Look, listen to me, the two of you. I mean, what difference does it make? The past is the past.
Oh, you mean like those we're supposed to be remembering next Sunday?
Next Sunday? That's Armistice Day.
Lest we forget. Yes. Isn't that what it says on the cenotaph? Millions of wasted lives, and all for what?
For the things you believe in.
Or what things, Dad?
The right to live in freedom.
Freedom? Oh, so that's what they call it. Is that what they told those poor bastards when they led them off like sheep to the slaughterhouse?
Don't talk about the dead like that, Chris.
Well, the dead can't talk for themselves, Mum. For them, it's too late. All that remains of their hopes are poppies. Red poppies floating in the wind across the fields of France. And all for a bloody war that they never even understood.
What do you know about war? You've never had to fight in one.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, Dad. You resent it?
Chris.
Well, it's true, isn't it? I suppose in Dad's eyes you're not a man until you've killed someone on a battlefield.
Oh, no, Arthur,
why
please.
Why do kids have to grow up? They think they know. They think they know everything. But they don't. I don't know nothing at all.
Hello, hello, hello. What's all this then?
Mick, what are you doing in here, son?
Well, I'd never like to see a man drinking on his own. What do you have, Dad?
No, thanks. I've only popped in for a quick half a bit.
Oh, come on. Have a whiskey with me. It'll set you up for the rest of the day.
You know as well as I do, I can't drink whiskey no more. The hospital won't let me.
The hospital? What do they know? Now, you take it from me, Dad. Enjoy yourself while you can. If you want a glass of whiskey ever so often, you have one. You're a long time dead, mate.
You don't have to remind me. It won't be long now.
Oh, my God. We're not going to have all that sob stuff about dying again, are we? Look, just remember something, mate. Old soldiers never die. They only fade away.
Ah, it's all right for you. You've still got your life ahead of you.
Now, how do we know that?
There's a good deal of difference between your age and mine.
Age has nothing to do with it. The way we all live these days, anything could happen to any of us. We'd be knocked down by a car or get a heart attack or something. Plenty of blokes of my age have had a coronary, you know.
You're as healthy as the day you was born.
No, I'm telling you, you never know. But since we're on the subject, Dad, I think there's something you and I ought to talk about. Have you and Mum made out a will?
A will? What are you talking about?
Well, believe me, everyone has to do it, no matter what age they are. I mean, you've got furniture, carpets, premium bonds, All sorts of bits and pieces.
If anyone's hard up for our bits and pieces, they're welcome to them.
Oh, look, Dad, you know what I mean. You have to get things sorted out. It's only fair to those you leave behind.
I don't care what you say. I ain't making out no will for no one. It ain't necessary for the likes of me and Mum.
But it is necessary, Dad.
I won't do it, I tell you. I won't do it.
All right, all right. I only mention it to you so you wouldn't feel responsible for stirring up bad blood amongst your own family.
Bad blood? What do you mean?
Don't you think I don't know how Chris has been draining you dry all these years? How he taps you for the odd fiver every time he sees you?
That's not true.
Of course it's true. Look, let me tell you something, Dad. The moment anything happens to either you or Mum, Chris would be down like a ton of hot bricks. He'd strip that flat of yours to pieces, like a bloody vulture.
For Christ's sake, we haven't got anything for anyone to take.
Hello, gentlemen. Can I ask you to buy some poppies for the British Legion?
What poppies?
Our Mr. Stay on Sunday, you know. I'm sure you'll want to support your local branch.
Why should we? Why should we buy a bit of red cloth that don't mean a bloody thing?
Dad!
Would you want to forget all those young boys who gave their lives for us in those two terrible wars?
War? What does someone like you know about war?
Dad, that's enough now.
I know enough to hope I'll never see another war in my lifetime. I'm sure a man of your age will know what I mean.
You're wrong. People need wars. They can't do without them.
It ain't no notice of him, miss. He's in that sort of a mood. Well, I can assure you, my dad never fails to buy a poppy on Armistice Day. It's been like that ever since I was a kid.
Well, not anymore it isn't. And you know why? Because I've got better things to do with my money. That's why.
Dad? Where you going? Dad!
Oh, man. Where you been? It's the first time you've been late for the trains in 20 years.
I had things to do.
Oh, you missed a 10:05 to 10:28.
I'm sorry, Charlie. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right, mate. I've got someone I want you to meet. She's dying to meet you. Letty! Letty, over here!
What is all this?
Arthur, I want you to meet Mrs. Potter. Letty. This is Arthur. Arthur Hobbs.
I'm very pleased to meet you, Mr. Hobbs.
Arthur? Well, aren't you going to shake hands?
Oh, yes. Sorry. How do you do?
Charlie's told me so much about you. I feel as if we're old friends.
Old friends?
Yeah, shall I tell you something, Arthur? Letty knows quite a bit about the trains. Ah, not as much as you and me, of course, but that's quite something for a woman, isn't it?
My first husband, George Potter, he used to love the trains. We used to go to Fenchurch Street Station twice a week just to watch them. Like a couple of kids we were.
I never thought I'd be lucky enough to find myself a wife who likes the trains just as much as you and me do, eh?
Wife?
Yeah, what about that, then? Yeah, you didn't know me and Letty had been going together for ages, did you? And we met at the old folks' home.
I know, it must sound a bit silly, but I suppose it was, well, love at first sight.
And we want you to be best man, Arthur, the old mate. What do you say to that?
Best man?
We're getting married on Saturday week at the parish church on the corner of Roden Street.
Yeah, matron's throwing us a party after the show. We're having a slap-up do back at the home.
I do hope you'll bring your wife, Mr. Hobbs. I'm longing to meet her.
Now, I must say, matron's turned up trumps about all this. Do you know she even found a double room for the two of us?
Not till after the wedding, of course.
Oh, I'm not so sure about that.
Johnny, behave yourself.
Well, what do you think? Well, aren't you going to congratulate the happy couple? Arthur.
Look, Charlie, no offence, but, well, I don't suppose I'll be seeing you here on the bridge anymore.
What? What are you talking about? Would it not come to the bridge anymore?
No offence meant, Charlie. I just think it's becoming a bit too much for me now, that's all. The old arthritis, you know. Gets old you in this weather.
Yeah, but Arthur, I mean, you like watching the trains, we both do. You and me haven't missed a Wednesday morning here for the past 27 years.
As far as I'm concerned, Charlie, it wouldn't matter to me if I never saw another train as long as I live. So, if you'll excuse me,
I think I'll be getting home now.
Six! I've got six!
Two, three, four, five, six. Home, I'm home!
Now, just a minute, just a minute. You're not home yet. You've got one more counter.
I haven't. I've won, I tell you. I've won.
Oh, no, you haven't. What about this?
That's not my counter. You put it there, Grandad.
What?
You a cheat. You always cheat.
If I'm a cheat, then why do you bother to play?
Now stop it, you two. It's only a game of Ludo, you know, and you stop your cheating, Arthur.
That's right. You take his part again.
Well, you do cheat, Arthur. You always have done.
I do not.
Why don't you let Jonty win now and again? It wouldn't do any harm.
If Jonty wants to win a game, he can work for it, like anyone else.
Right. Very well. We'll call this game a draw and we'll play another.
Aww.
It's the only way to be fair to everyone. Oh, front door. I'll be back in a minute. Now, no arguments, you two.
I do not cheat.
You heard what Grandma said. No arguments.
Yeah.
Are we going up west on Sunday, then?
Up west? What are you talking about?
It's Armistice Day. You always take Lizzie and me up west on Armistice Sunday.
Do I? Well, this year, I'm not.
Oh, Grandad, why?
Because I'm sick to death of crowds of stupid people weeping and wailing over the dead. It doesn't mean anything anymore.
But it does mean something, Grandad. And, Grandad, some of your regiments are going to be there this year. Your shiny seventh you're always on about.
I don't have a regiment anymore. Do you understand that, boy? The war's over. It's been over a long time.
Jonty, get your cap and go home. There's a good boy.
But we haven't finished the game yet.
Do as I say now, please. Your granddad has a visitor. Sit.
Mrs. Butler, what are you doing here?
Hello, Mr. Hobbs.
Cheerio, then.
Oh, bye-bye, love. Mind how you go. Sit down, Mrs. Potter. Can I get you a cup of tea? We were just going to have a cup.
No, thank you, Mrs. Hobbs. I can't stay long. I have things to do.
What's this all about? Where's Charlie?
Charlie was taken poorly, Mr. Hobbs.
Taken poorly? Charlie Knuckles never had a day's illness in his life.
Mr. Hobbs, I'm afraid Charlie died last night. In the Royal Northern Hospital in Islington.
Dead? Charlie? Dead?
It was very sudden. His heart. None of us knew. We didn't realise this was his third attack. It was very sudden.
He was only talking to him a few days ago.
I don't have to tell you what a shock it's been to me. A week on Saturday, we were going to be...
I really am sorry, Mrs. Potter. We both are, aren't we, Arthur?
Charlie? Dead?
The funeral's on Monday. Matron's taken care of all that. Charlie had no relations left, you see. But I wanted you to be the first to know, Mr. Hobbs. I think it was only them meetings you two had on the bridge every week that used to keep him going. It must have meant a lot to him. That's why I wanted you to have this, Mr. Hobbs. Charlie used to keep it on the little table at the side of his bed.
What is it, Arthur?
The timetable. The railway's timetable. He was never without it. It's been out of date for years.
Don't sit on your own in the dark, Arthur. I know how you feel, but Charlie wouldn't have wanted you to be sad like this. Let me turn the light on.
You leave that light alone.
Oh, Arthur, you can't go on like this. You haven't spoken to me for hours.
There's nothing to talk about. Not anymore.
You're wrong, Arthur. You know, we haven't lived together all these years without having something to say to each other.
You don't understand. None of you understand. I could talk to Charlie. He was the only one.
Yeah, but... And Charlie's gone now, Arthur. So won't you at least
try to talk to me.
There's nothing to talk about.
I'm your wife, Arthur. And why can't you tell me what it is that's keeping you awake night after night?
Why do you always have to make something out of nothing?
Look, listen to me, Arthur. We share the same bed, don't we? Do you really think I don't know that you're lying there in the dark, with your eyes wide open, staring up at the ceiling, and living through something that's too painful to let you sleep?
Why can't you leave me alone?
But what is it that you could talk over with Charlie, but not with me? Is it the war, Arthur? Is it something to do with the war?
What did you say?
I mean, do you realise that in all the years we've been married, you never once talked to me about your time in the war? And what terrible thing happened to you that you can't even share it with your own wife? Is it something to do with the time you met my brother in the trenches?
You know, don't you?
What?
You've always known, and yet you've never told me.
Known what? If only I knew what it is you're trying to say to me. If only you could trust me, Arthur.
There's only one person in this world I've ever been able to trust. And he's not around anymore.
Arthur, what are you putting your coat on for? Where are you going?
Oh, I'm going out. I need some fresh air.
It's after 10. You'll catch your death of cold. It's freezing outside.
And don't try to come after me, Winnie. Do you hear what I say? I need to be on my own. Don't come after me.
Arthur! Arthur, my dear.
Oh. Mum! Come in, come in. Oh, what is it? What's happened?
It's your dad, Chris.
Dad? Is he ill?
He's been ill for a long time, and I haven't had the sense to realise it. Why have I been so stupid? I should have known how much Charlie's death would have meant to him.
Charlie? Old Charlie Knuckles, dead?
Yes. And it's as though a whole part of Arthur's life has been taken away from him. You've got to go after him, Chris. In his present state of mind, I don't know what he might do to himself.
Well, where is he?
I don't know. He stormed out at the flat hours ago, and I haven't seen him since.
But it's the middle of the night. Hadn't we better call the police or something?
No, Chris. No. The only person who can help Dad now is you.
Me?
No, listen to me, son. No, oh. No, don't turn away, please. Look, I want to tell you something. When your dad and I first met, we came from two completely different worlds. I mean, his family, they never knew what it was to have a decent pair of shoes on their feet. In fact, his brothers had to scrounge for every scrap of food they could lay their hands on. And yet, by the time I was married, I was prepared to face up to all that. And you know why? Because I knew that Arthur was the only man I wanted to share my life with, regardless of the sacrifice, and I've never regretted it.
Yes, I know all this, Mum, but...
Yes, but what you don't know, and what none of us knew, is that ever since he came back from the war, Arthur has been living with some kind of secret that's too painful for him to share with anyone, even with me.
A secret?
Now, look, Arthur's never told me about his time in the trenches. But then I never asked him. None of us have, and we were wrong, Chris. We ought to know.
Look, Mum, I'd like to help, but surely you must see that Dad and I have absolutely nothing we can say to each other.
Oh, don't you see, Chris? Both you and your dad, you've got this way of bottling things up inside you. If only you could get to know and trust each other.
It's too late, Mum. How can you ask me to respect a man who does nothing but sit around all day, staring
Chris,
at the telly in the street outside?
I know he's a simple man, Chris, but he loves me, and he loves his family, and that makes up for an awful lot.
No, Mum, it's not enough.
Not enough? Not enough for who, Chris? Now, look here. It's after 2 o'clock in the morning, Armistice Day, Remembrance Day. And this will be the first time that your dad hasn't been down to watch the service at the Cenotaph.
Never missed a year he hasn't. Took all the kids regular. I bet they'll all be there, just as usual, though. All those old contemptibles, just like your dad, marching past the cenotaph, medals flashing from their jackets. Old soldiers never die, they say. Well, maybe they don't. But they never forget. How can they? Go and find him, son. Talk to him. He needs you so much.
Hello, Dad. I never realised you could get onto this bridge once the park was closed. It's a peculiar place at night, isn't it? Especially in the fog. All these yellow lights and shadows. I haven't been to this park for years, not since I was a kid. Must have been some time during the Blitz. I remember the barrage balloons over there on the football field. Quite beautiful, really. I used to come to this bridge. The Flying Scotsman. Now, that was quite a train. They don't make them like that these days.
You came here to watch the trains?
Of course.
You never told me.
You never asked. In fact, you never asked about anything. I doubt you even knew where I was half the time.
You've always gone your own way. I've never interfered, have I?
Look, Dad, I'm sorry about Charlie. Really sorry. Must be rough to lose someone who's been a pal for so long. He was a nice old boy. I liked him. Always good for a laugh. I can't see me ever reaching that kind of age. Don't see how any of my generation can. Too many tensions. Me, I treat every day as though it's my last. You ever felt like that, Dad?
What do you mean?
Well, what about during the First War? Your time in the trenches, there must have been times when you felt pretty hopeless.
The war's over. Why do people keep on asking about it?
Oh, I don't know. Perhaps it's a way of trying to stop it all happening again. What was it like, Dad? Was it really grim?
Who cares?
I do.
It was a long time ago.
Please, Dad. I'd like to know.
I was 17 when I was first mobilised. I spent my 18th birthday in the trenches in La Belle, France. It was in this battle, you see. The Battle for Hill 60, they called it. Funny. I've never been able to find it on the map. Anyway, Jerry was dug in on one side of this field and we was on the other. We was living in nothing more than a hole in the ground, like being shoved down your own grave. Thick lumps of clay everywhere. Hardly enough room to stand up in, let alone squat. When I heard that gunfire for the first time, even though it was miles off, I got the shakes like a lump of jelly. And then, somehow, you got used to it. It was when it all stopped that you really worried. And then, you waited. You didn't know what for or for how long. All you could do was just sit and think. I used to think of Mum and Dad and me brothers and this girl from Mare Street and whether I'll ever see them all again. I wondered what I was doing in this hole in the ground and whatever it was that gave me the idea it was a man to become a soldier. I wonder what it'd be like to eat fresh food again instead of opening a tin every time you got hungry. And still, you waited. You didn't know what for or for how long. And if it was raining, Christ, how it rained. You'd spend half your time bailing out with a mess tin. Took days to get dried out, if you ever did. I hate the rain. But most of all, it was the smells I remember. Ours and theirs. Sometimes it'd drift across the fields when the wind changed. Smells either from our dead or theirs. I remember the first dead man I ever saw. Made me cry. Just like a baby, I cried. It was this Jerry. I got him straight through the forehead, see? I didn't get a good look at him till the morning. About my age, I'd say. Blue eyes. Cold as steel. Stared right through you. Funny, though. He didn't look much like a Jerry, like the enemy. He was more like, well, anyone, really. Anyway, I got used to him after a while. I tried to imagine who he was or where he'd come from, what his family would feel like when they knew. We had to leave him out there, of course. Till the rats picked away at his brains. He was never the same again. Not after that. You soon got used to seeing the look in a man's eyes as you shot the guts out of him.
My God. I never realised you'd actually killed a man.
What the hell do you think we was doing out there then? Playing games or something? Of course I killed a man. I killed lots of them. We all did.
Yes, Dad, I know. Of course I know. I suppose I've just never thought about it, that's all. It's an odd feeling to know that your own father has actually taken human life.
For God's sake, how do you think I feel?
Dad, this battle you were in, what was it all about?
I don't know.
Don't know?
We was fighting a war, that's all we cared. We just did what we was told. Soldiers, don't ask questions.
Yeah, what happened to you, Dad? What happened that night before you went into battle?
What? What are you talking about?
And what happened between you and Mum's brother, Dad?
No.
What happened between you and Tom Edgington? No. You must tell me, Dad, you must.
No, leave me alone. Why can't you leave me alone?
Dad, listen to me. Just this once, listen to me. I don't know what it is that's prevented us from respecting each other all these years. But maybe Mum was right. Maybe it's because we've never made the effort to share the things that have always churned both of us up inside. I've always wanted to do the things that have been expected of me, but somehow I could never bring myself to actually do them. There was no one I could trust or confide in. It wasn't until tonight I realized how much I've needed you. Now, what about that, Henry? Me, needing my own father. But I do need you, Dad. I think we need each other. So, isn't it about time we made some kind of an effort?
It was a million to one chance. The first and only time I'd ever met Winnie's brother. I can see him now. Funny little bloke. He had a posh voice, yeah, and a good brain. Anyone could see that. Bit like you, really. I suppose the reason I liked him so much was because I knew that he and Winnie were so close. We sat talking about Winnie for hours. I was really happy. Anyway, I must have nodded off. You know, one of the best night's sleep I'd had in weeks. But suddenly...
Arthur! Arthur, where are you?
Over here, Tom! For God's sake, keep your head down! Now, what is it? What's going on?
Jerry's moved his position forward. They're digging in on the other side of that bridge. No! Keep down!
You two men!
Sir!
One of you can join the raiding party over there. We've got to look out Jerry on the bridge.
Which one of us, sir?
I don't care a damn. Just get a move on.
Very good, sir.
It's okay, Tom. You just leave this one to me.
I don't. We'll do this the fair way. Toss for it.
There can't be a jump. There's no time.
Well, I said we'll toss for it. I've got a coin here somewhere. Yeah. It's only a good old farthing. Let's face it. It's worth the same either way.
No, Tom.
Heads I go. Tails you. Right?
No.
Yeah, here goes. as it is. Nah, sorry, Arthur. Oh, man.
No,
Tom! Now, don't you be a chump. I promise you, you've got far more to lose than I have.
Hurry up over there!
Coming, sir! Arthur, will you do something for me? Will you tell Winnie, from me, tell her... Well, just tell her I think she's done all right for herself. Be seeing you.
No! Tom, come back! Come back!
I tried to stop him. I tried, but it was no good. By the time I'd crawled along the trench, it was no good. All of a sudden, it was quiet. Nothing moved. It was like a graveyard out there. There were six of them in the raiding party. They went over the top of the sandbags one by one, crawling on their stomachs through the sludge and in and out of the bits and pieces of dead bodies still rotting away there in the field. From where I was crouching, I could just see Tom edging his way forward, inch by inch. I kept saying to myself, it ought to be you out there, Arthur. If you love Winnie... It ought to be you. They got to the foot of the bridge and one by one they started to climb up. 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 No!
It's all right, Dad. It's all right.
They fell. One by one, they felt they didn't have a chance, I tell you. Not a chance.
It's all right, Dad. Stop blaming yourself.
It should have been me out there, not Tom. That coin, he tricked me. I saw it. It was tails. It was meant for me. Don't you understand? I let Winnie's brother go to his death. Well, it should have been me. Me.
No, Dad. You're wrong. Tom knew what he was doing. And that's why we owe it to him to go home and tell Mum.
No. I can't. I can't do it, Chris. I love Willie. I've always loved her. I wouldn't do anything to hurt that woman.
I know that, Dad. And so did Tom. He wanted you to survive because he loved Mum. He loved Winnie. Just as much as we do. Oh, come on, then. Let's go home.
Yeah.
You and I have got a lot of time to make up for, you know.
Yeah.
After all, you said yourself, the war's over. It's today that's important now. And tomorrow... It's about time we stop looking back.
In Looking Back by Victor Pemberton, Arthur English played the part of Arthur Hobbs and Catherine Parr, his wife Winnie. Nigel Anthony played the part of his son Chris and also young Arthur. Mick was played by John Rye. Rita, Rosalind Adams. Charlie Knuckles, Malcolm Hayes. Tom Edgington, Anthony Smee. Mrs. Potter, Norma Ronald. The children Lizzie and Jonathan were played by Julia Anderson and David Corty. The play was produced by John Tideman.